Hello, you're listening to Romeo And, a podcast about masculinity, nice guys, sexism, and what it means to be a man in our society today. I'm your host, Street Saint. You've probably heard the name Ronda Rousey recently. She's an MMA, or mixed martial arts, fighter who has gained enormous fame in the last few years. Even if you're not an MMA fan, you've probably heard her name or seen her face around the internet. What is so impressive about Rousey is that not only is she totally undefeated in her cage matches, she's beaten all of her opponents in dominating fashion. Generally, MMA matches last 5 rounds and the winner is determined by who landed the most punches or had the better advantage throughout the fight. With Ronda Rousey, she's knocked out or forced a tap out from every single one of her opponents in the very first round of the fight. Because of this, her fights don't normally last longer than a minute. In one of her fights, she forced a submission in just 14 seconds. It's fair to say that Rousey is currently outclassing her competition, which has afforded her the ability to be a bit haughty. She's notorious, ironically enough, for being both a humble and down-to-earth person, as well as fearless and cocky. Rousey's most recent fight against Beth Correa was preceded by a heated rivalry between the two fighters. Rousey publicly stated that not only would she defeat Correa, but she would do it in an embarrassing fashion to teach her a lesson. Rousey then proceeded to do exactly that and knock out Correa in just 34 seconds. Rousey is in the spotlight once more for calling out another recently notorious fighter, Floyd Mayweather. Mayweather has been the target of a lot of heat due to his history of domestic violence. He's been charged 7 times against 5 different women, but has never been punished by any boxing organizations. Rousey has called out Mayweather for his domestic violence record, but Mayweather has not acknowledged her statement. He notoriously stated that he didn't even know who Rousey was when he was asked about her. At the time, they were both in contention to win an ESPY award for Best Fighter that year. Rousey ended up winning and said something along the lines of, "Let's see him try to pretend not to know who I am now." It's a very few people who are given the opportunity to say such a badass and iconic line in real life, and then it takes a true badass to actually say it on camera. Before all this buzz, I didn't really even know who Rousey was either. But now she's my hero. Rousey has again called out Mayweather by saying that she could totally beat him in a no-rules fight. Strong words, considering Mayweather is also currently undefeated. Though, for clarification's sake, in case you're not familiar with the world of professional fighting, Rousey is a mixed martial artist while Mayweather is a boxer. These two styles are completely different, which is why Rousey prefaced her statement by saying that if they were boxing, Mayweather would win. But if they were in the MMA cage, that's her territory. But for a woman to say that she would beat a man in a fight, that man being a professional fighter, is still a pretty big deal, even though that woman happens to be a pro fighter herself. But Ronda Rousey's dominance over the female MMA scene is causing a lot of people to question how she would fare in the male league. What if Rousey were to fight against a male MMA fighter? There's currently no precedent for this. As it stands now, a woman could never compete against a man in a professional MMA fight. My question is, but why? And this is the question that I've been asking for years. Why do we outlaw women from playing sports? Why are women forced to have separate but equal leagues? To this day, I have not heard a single convincing argument. The most prominent excuse I hear is that men and women are built differently. Men are naturally better suited for certain sports than women are. Women would have an unfair disadvantage, and so on. Okay, point taken. But have people forgotten that there's such a thing as drafting? In every team sport, you have a draft where the heads of the teams choose who will represent them on the field. If every single woman who tried out to be on a team was beaten out by men because men are stronger and better suited for the sport, then that means everything is working as expected, and the sports would remain male-dominated. However, if there is a woman who is able to compete with the men and who can actually outplay men enough so that she could get picked up by a professional team over her male competition, she's not even given the opportunity to try out. Why are we so afraid of seeing a woman on the field with men? So much so that we have to completely deny them the opportunity to try out. I thought the same thing when women were still denied the ability to join the military. I used the past tense, but there are actually still positions in the armed forces that are male-only to this day. Why? If a woman is not capable of doing the job, then don't hire her. Why make it a hard, fast rule that a woman can't do it? The way I see it, if a woman is denied a position because her sex prevents her from performing the job, then one of two things is happening. Either the prerequisites for obtaining said position are inadequate, or you're just being sexist. In other words, if a woman is not strong enough to be a soldier, then she should never be able to survive the boot camp. If she does, and you feel she shouldn't, then you're making the boot camp too easy, which means there are probably a lot of men in your troop who don't deserve to be soldiers either. In short, making rules that a certain gender cannot participate in something is ridiculous. Either you make your rules more clear as to why any particular person should be denied access, or the discrimination has to stop. I could go on about this, but I'll leave it at that for now. Send me your comments and opinions to keep the discussion going. This week, I'm going to take a break from the movie and story critiques and do something I like to call mansplaining with Street Saint. In this segment, I'm going to talk about men. Man things. It might be educational, it might just be some friendly man advice. From man to man. In any case, this week's mansplanation is coming up next. You guys are probably sick of hearing me say it by now, but dating sucks. Especially if you're a more reserved, introverted guy like me. Guys are supposed to get dates by taking charge and stuff. But guys like us can't figure out what to say to that pretty girl we like until we're back home 6 hours later in bed replaying the events in our heads. If I had a nickel for every time I've said, "Why didn't I just say blankety blank?" I'd probably have a couple bucks. But that's just part of the nice guy lifestyle. Here's the thing about dating, at least when you're doing it as a straight guy. Ultimately, if you want to date that girl you're interested in, you're going to have to ask her out. It's never going to happen the other way around. Or well, if it does, then you've won the lottery. Speaking of lottery, I hope you can bear with my use of an analogy. If we look at dating as a lottery, women would be the lottery tickets, and the money that you use to buy the tickets is emotional, mental, and sometimes financial resources. And what you get for winning is intimacy and love. Nice guys, more often than not, lose this lottery because they spend all of their money, which is their emotional and mental energy, all on one so-called lottery ticket. And since the odds are so against them, they lose all of their money and get nothing in return. Poor old nice guys. And that's why nice guys really resent guys with quote-unquote game. Because guys with game play the numbers. They spend the same amount of money on lottery tickets as the nice guys, but they go for quantity. They buy all the cheapest, lowest-risk tickets so that they're almost guaranteed to get a return on their investment. If I look at my life and my dating history, I'd say my odds of winning the lottery are about 1 in 15. Which isn't too bad. But if you consider that I'm spending hundreds of dollars worth of emotional investment on each lottery ticket, losing just once or twice can be pretty devastating. And this is basically what nice guys do, and it's why they're always so down on themselves. Given this scenario, you have three options. Option A, you can try to improve your odds so that you're more likely to win. Option B, you can do what the guys with game do and spend less on each ticket so that it's not as devastating to lose. Or C, you can just give up gambling altogether. So let's take a look at the options. I'm going to go ahead and work backwards and start with option C, which is to stop playing the lottery. It might sound like you're just giving up, but, well, it is kind of like giving up. But it doesn't have to be all bad. For some guys, especially the introverted and shy guys like me, dating can be a pretty toxic environment. The amount of effort it takes just to introduce yourself to a person you're attracted to can be overwhelming as it is. All the while, you're in your head thinking of all the possibilities of things to go wrong. You accidentally say something that offends her, or worse, you think of nothing to say at all. And then you have to deal with the possibility that she might turn you down. Guys like me might do the utilitarian calculation in their head. What do I have to do in order to ask out and eventually start dating this girl versus what can I expect to get if I succeed? I don't know about you, but dealing with the mental hula hoops I put myself through was not worth the possibility of having a girlfriend. And so for a while, I quit. I just quit altogether. I didn't ask women on dates. Hell, I didn't even consider asking women on dates. And to be honest, it felt pretty damn good. It was a huge relief. I talk about it all the time, that guys are supposed to have a woman in his life to be successful. That's how we're conditioned. And if he doesn't have a woman, then he should still be having a lot of sex. And so my life revolved around these ideas. I need a girlfriend. In order to get a girlfriend, I need a better job. And I need to make more money. I need to be more polite. I need to be more social. I need to learn how to flirt. I need to learn what women want, etc., etc., etc. Once I decided that it wasn't worth it, and I was better off without those things, I was able to focus more on what I actually liked to do. It was incredibly liberating. I wasn't so stressed when I saw women I was attracted to. I didn't care so much if I said the wrong things or made a fool of myself. In short, I was actually able to be myself. Hell, I had no idea who I was before then, so I spent the time trying to figure it out. Giving up on dating actually taught me how to put less emotional resources into talking to women. In other words, giving up dating actually made me a little bit better at dating. Funny how that works. It was this, plus the fact that I was still incredibly lonely, that made me decide to give the dating world another shot. And that's a good segue into my second option for improving your chances at the dating lottery. Spend less money on lottery tickets. Like I said, guys like me will drop their whole life savings on a single lottery ticket if they're allowed to get into their heads about it. And when I say lottery ticket, of course, I'm talking about a woman. Once I decided that I liked a girl, I would follow her to the ends of the earth just to hear her say that she would go out with me. If you listen to the previous episodes of the podcast where I talked about my romantic panic attack, that's basically what I was doing. I was just obsessed with this girl, trying to get her to say that she was in love with me or something, and it tore me apart. And so if you're anything like me, stop doing that. First off, it's not flattering to women. It can often come off as kind of creepy. Secondly, it's obviously not sustainable. If, or rather when, she says she doesn't want to date you, it's as if you're going through this huge bad breakup with someone you've been with for years. But you're not even dating this girl yet. The emotional trauma is not even close to worth it. So spend less on your lottery tickets. If you see a girl you like, talk to her. Flirt with her. Ask for her name and what she does and what she likes. And if the conversation goes well, ask for her number. But if you start to get the butterflies and your mind goes blank and your mouth gets dry, maybe just say, you know what? It's not worth it. And move on. Find someone else to talk to. There will always be other women out there. And maybe after getting frustrated with yourself one too many times, you'll stop shying away and go for it. And if you find that that's too tough, maybe go back to option C and just leave the dating game. Tell yourself that you're not going to try anymore and actually stop trying. I found it so much easier to talk to women after going through that period of my life, because I forced myself to devalue these quote-unquote lottery tickets. Once I started playing the lottery again, it was so much easier. But now let's talk about option A, and that's improving your odds. It would be impossible for me to list the ways to do this because there are so many of them. It's just a matter of what you think you need and want. I found that the best thing to do is to look for things about yourself that you are self-conscious about. I would generally avoid physical attributes, but a common example is weight. A lot of people are self-conscious about their weight. So you might make it a point to go to the gym, eat healthy, get more fit. And doing so will improve your self-esteem. It will make you less critical of yourself. And overall, you'll probably feel a lot better. Not only will it make it easier to approach people when you have one less thing on your mind that you're worried about, but people can tell when someone is confident in themselves and when they're not. But like I said, I generally think it's best to avoid looking at physical attributes because those are difficult and sometimes impossible to change. Instead, think of other things that you might be self-conscious about. Maybe you're not happy with your wardrobe, or you wish you had a better job, or you wish you were smarter or wittier. These are all things that you can actually go out and change. So pick one of those things and make it a point to try to change it for yourself. If you don't like your job, figure out what you'd rather be doing and get training in that. If you wish you were funnier, take some improv classes, or read some funny books, or watch funny movies. You wish you were better at social situations? Go to a networking class, or talk to a counselor. Do your best to improve yourself, because not only does it make you feel better, it makes other people like and respect you more. And when people like you more, they're more willing to go on dates with you. But don't just do it to try to get more dates. That's the wrong way to look at it. Don't do it for anyone else but yourself. Finding that special someone is a great motivation, but if you make it your end goal, it's easy to get frustrated if things don't work out how you expect them to in your head. Also, keep in mind that maybe the way you stop being self-conscious about certain aspects of your life is to decide not to be self-conscious about it anymore. This is much easier said than done, but it does work for a lot of people. It certainly helps a lot for those physical attributes that you can't change. As an example, maybe you feel that women won't date you because of how your nose looks. One option is to get plastic surgery, but it would be a lot cheaper and less risky to say to yourself, you know what? My nose is fine. I found it helpful to look at other people who have similar issues to yours, who have actually been successful in love. Say to yourself, if they could find someone who loves them despite this thing, I certainly can too. Embrace your so-called flaws, because it might not seem like it, but there are probably a good number of people out there who will love you even more for having them. But like I said, there are tons of ways to improve your dating lottery odds. Another example is to consider what you're really looking for in a relationship. Decide for yourself who would be your perfect mate. And once you come up with that picture in your head, think about, if this were a real person, what would make them want to date me? What might that person be interested in? What would they respond well to? What would they be looking for in a relationship? And if you don't fit that description, then you should probably do something about it. But generally, our ideal person is going to love us for who we are. So then it's not a matter of changing yourself to attract the right people, but figuring out where to find people that fit that description. If you're looking for a party girl, maybe go to bars or clubs. If you're looking for an adventurous type, try going rock climbing or skiing. Think, if I were this person, where would I like to hang out? And then find a reason to go to those places. Again, your odds of winning the lottery are much greater if you're asking the people who are most likely to see you as a potential partner. I'd say that those are probably your best ways to improve your odds. Look for people who fit the criteria you're looking for, and make sure that you yourself fit whatever criteria they might have. And so, if you haven't guessed it yet, if you're really looking to win at this whole dating lottery thing, your best bet is to use some combination of those three options. That's right. It might not seem like it at first, but giving up playing the lottery altogether could actually improve your chances of winning the lottery. Not in real life, but in this hypothetical situation, absolutely. So maybe you give up dating for a while you focus on your career so you can get a better job and be more self-confident. Or maybe you take up martial arts because your perfect partner would be totally into that, and you flirt with all the girls you take class with rather than pick one and try just asking her out. Ultimately, you are the best judge of what you need. In all of these scenarios, you really just have to ask yourself what you want, and then do your best to go for it. My advice to you, well, it doesn't really make sense to do this segment since this whole episode was my advice to you. So instead, I'll just sum everything up for you. If you're a nice guy like me, or if you just generally want to get better at dating, think of it as a lottery. You can try to boost your odds of winning by improving yourself or looking for people who will like you for who you are. You can spend less on each lottery ticket by putting less emotional stress on yourself when asking people out. Or you could just stop gambling altogether and instead focus on other things in your life that make you happy. Ultimately, the choice is yours. May the odds be ever in your favor. But that's it for this episode of Romeo And. As always, if you have a story you want featured on the podcast, send me a message via email, contact@stsaint.com, or give me a call at 516-514-7878. Also, be sure to follow me on social media, like Romeo And on Facebook, or follow me on Twitter @street_saint. New episodes of Romeo And are published weekly, so make sure you get every episode when it's released by subscribing to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, or the podcatcher of your choice. But if you do nothing else, just go to iTunes and Stitcher and give us a 5-star rating. There's nothing more valuable to the show than just getting a bunch of good ratings from all of you guys. Thanks again for listening. I am Street Saint, and I'll see you next time.